Good morning, Baltimore. Baltimore being the notorious headquarters of the multiverse.
Yes, good morning, Baltimore. I hope you're having a fantastic day. You've poured that first cup of coffee, maybe caught an extra snooze on your alarm, but you're waking up and you're ready for the day.
That's right. You are ready to both play magic and swing dance.
Yes. Swing dancing. And don't forget, the first caller to call in at 1112344. That last number was either a 4 or a 5. It's up to you to figure out which. We'll get tickets to Innistrad.
It's a ride that everybody is jonesing to go on at the moment. You better catch it before it's gone, folks. That's right. Word on the street and in the newspapers. And in the newspapers on the street is that Innistrad is facing a little bit of difficulty. And if it doesn't sort out these problems, the whole plane is, its very existence is threatened.
So get there while you still can. Hopefully you don't leave with the tentacle arm.
Oh, yeah. You know, I once met someone who had been to Innistrad. Yeah. Got a tentacle arm while they were there.
Oh, did they?
There's nothing they could do about it.
Did they come home with the tentacle arm?
They did, and they had it amputated.
Oh, I was going to say, were they quarantined?
No, they had it amputated by a field nurse while they were biting on a stick and sipping on some whiskey.
That sounds old school.
It really was. The whole operation took place in the 1950s, which is where I'm from.
Are you old-timey newscaster?
No, I'm mid-timey newscaster. Old-timey newscaster hails from the 1920s. He was my dad.
Oh, okay. It sounded just like him.
It runs in the family.
I get it.
If you want to hear his voice, I can do a great impression of
it.
No,
I don't, though.
Are you sure?
Except that I don't want to hear it.
All right. Well, too bad for you.
Good morning, Baltimore and the rest of the world. This is Magically Amateuring. I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And we're here to talk to you about magic. We've got a great show coming up because a lot of exciting things have happened over the past week.
That's right. If you have been hiding in a basket, if you have been covering your ears with your hands all week because there were things you didn't want to hear, covering your eyes all week because there were things you didn't want to see, covering your mouth all week because there was stuff you didn't want to taste, well, now's the time to reuse your senses because we're going to tell, show, and feed you information.
Open up. Here comes the airplane of magic news.
That's right.
We've had a boatload, which is a scientific term, of new preview cards for Eldritch Spooky Moon.
That's right. We're going to talk about those preview cards. We're also going to talk about some tournaments that happened over the weekend. Those happened.
They sure did, Megan.
They
definitely did not happen.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk about mechanics.
Yeah, mechanics.
That we're going to see in Spooky Moon. We've got spooky mechanics.
Mechanic.
You do?
Yeah. Worked on my car just the other week.
Oh, nice. And you don't feel like they overcharged you?
No.
I feel like I definitely, once got ripped off by a mechanic.
Yeah, never again.
A different mechanic tried to rip me off. But then I found a third mechanic who saved me from the second mechanic who was trying to rip me off.
That's why they say the third mechanic's the charm.
Yeah, it really was in my case. Of course, now I don't own a car, so I don't know what the moral of that whole story is.
Yeah, we've got some awesome new mechanics, including one that has a lot of people yip-yapping around the world wide webs. But before we get into the main part of our show, I want to say thank you to everybody who's decided to become a new patron on patreon.com/mtacast. You guys are the best. For as little as $1, you can become a patron of the show and Megan and my new best friend.
That's right.
That's official. We send a certificate that says we're now your new best friend. And you can call us with your problems. You can come over when you need a hug.
You can text us when you're drunk.
Yep. Oh, I especially want that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can even, you know, we'll go to your wedding, even though we're busy. Because that's what friends do.
Look, I'm really busy during your wedding, but I'll go because we're friends.
I don't know. I've just heard so many people like that are going to weddings recently and they're just not into it, but they feel obligated because they're friends.
Weddings are the fucking best.
I love them as well. But, you know, some people, they just don't want to sit through it, I
Why?
Guess.
Why?
I don't know.
Why? Do they hate fun?
Do they hate love?
Yeah.
And commitment?
Those are the only things that I can assume. Like, do they hate people in party clothes?
Maybe it's some strange phobia.
I'm so sorry. I have to decline to go to your wedding. I have a phobia of people in party dresses.
Do you know I've been to a sham wedding?
Aw. No. How did those two shams find themselves? Let's find each other.
They were both dirty after cleaning a floor.
Oh, and so they put in the same washer?
Yeah.
Cute.
It was really adorable.
Whose sham wedding did you go to? Say names.
No, I can't say names. Also because I can't remember them.
It was a green card situation?
No, it wasn't.
What?
Oh, you guys, this is turning into a tragedy if I tell this tale.
Oh, okay.
Because it was this person that I had gone to college with,
uh-huh.
and he was my buddy,
uh-huh.
And was obviously gay, okay? Like... Everybody knew.
Wait, so you went to a real wedding?
Yeah, it was a real wedding, but
okay.
Let's
and
just say it was also a sham.
Real married.
Yes.
Okay.
I can perform marriages, by the way. Anybody out there in Magic Land who needs me to officiate their wedding, I am certified.
Congratulations.
It took literally 15 minutes.
Yeah. I was at a green card wedding.
Were you really?
Oh yeah.
That's exciting.
And I've also been a witness at an elopement.
Yes, I know. You sent me a picture, yes. And it was amazing.
It was great.
Ooh.
That was one of my top moments.
Yeah.
I felt really good about it.
You should.
Yeah.
Any elopement is really exciting.
It really is.
Especially in this day and age.
Right? Not enough people elope anymore.
I agree.
Kids these days wanting to have respectable marriages.
Anyway, patreon.com/mtacast. Come on over and become part of the family.
Yep.
Without a wedding ceremony. Spooky Moon Mechanics.
That's right, everybody. Along with a new set comes some new stuff that's going to happen in that set. Specifically with cards and what those cards can do.
I know, it's so exciting.
It super is. And just today, we got an article about the Eldritch Moon mechanics.
Yeah.
So the new stuff and some of the returning stuff that we're going to see in this upcoming set.
Yeah, new mechanics are exciting because they're sort of like new ways to play the game every time mm-hmm. they come out. You know, it kind of changes the way cards interact with each other, what's going to be exciting and new about this draft or standard format.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some spicy ones, Megan. This is like a jalapeno.
Yeah. I did not think that was what you were going to say when you started.
What did you think I was going to say?
Halloween.
This is like Halloween.
This is like, come on, think about
well, yeah,
it. Like
it
the
makes
way
sense.
That you pronounced jalapeno.
Jalapeno.
Halloween pino.
It would be great to be a jalapeno on Halloween.
That would be good.
I'm a Halloween jalapeno.
No, you have to portmanteau it.
I'm a jalapeno. It's
yeah.
the same thing.
Jalapeno.
That sounds like something else.
I know.
I know.
So the first new mechanic in Spooky Moon is meld.
Meld.
So what happens with meld is it's kind of like a double-faced card.
Yeah.
Except you have to have two different independent individual cards on the battlefield in order for the meld and the flip to happen.
Yeah, I love this mechanic. Some people are like, oh, they already have this in Yu-Gi-Oh! Or whatever.
Apparently,
which
I don't know
because I've never played Yu-Gi-Oh!
Not being a Yu-Gi-Oh! Player.
But I think it's really cool because it kind of allows you... It kind of reminds me of assembling a contraption or whatever.
Uh-huh. So you have hope for contraptions after this?
Well, I always had hope for contraptions
in
Kaladesh.
I know you did.
But, so yeah, two things together make a better whole. Kind of like
yeah.
our marriage metaphor from earlier.
So the way it works is what it might say on one side of one of the cards is, for instance, Hanware Battlements, which is a land.
Yep.
You can tap to add colorless. You can pay red and tap it to give a creature haste until end of turn.
Sweet.
You can pay three red and tap it. And it says, if you both own and control Hanware Battlements and a creature named Hanware Garrison, exile them, then meld them into Hanware, the Writhing Township.
Yes. Now, we tweeted a picture out of Hanware, the Writhing Township, mm-hmm. a few days ago. It is mondo disgusting.
Yeah, it's but also super is. It's really cool,
it's
though.
It's really cool, and it's kind of worth it, right? Because you have to ask yourself, if I'm melding two separate creatures, which is usually better than one creature, it better dang well be worth it. And Hanwear the Writhing Township certainly is. It's a 7-4 trample, haste. Mm-hmm. And whenever it attacks, I'm not done.
Yeah.
Put 2/3/2 colorless Eldrazi horror creature tokens onto the battlefield tapped and attacking.
That is pretty intense.
That's nuts.
That's totally nuts.
And both the parts, like the sum of the parts here is pretty sweet, but the parts themselves are also both just really good.
Yeah, as we mentioned, that land that you can use to give creatures haste.
Yep.
And then the other card that it melds with, which it mentioned, was Hanwear Garrison.
Yes.
Which is a 2/3 for 2 and a red, and whenever it attacks, you put 2/1/1 red human creature tokens onto the battlefield, tapped and attacking. Parentheses, melds with Hanwear Battlements.
Yeah, this is going to be like, I mean, there's only 3 cards in the set that have meld.
Yes.
So you're going to be living the dream if you manage to draft this or open it in sealed.
That would be crazy. That's a little Christmas landy.
It is. It's not quite as Christmas land as having the two angels that meld together, which is like...
We'll get to those. But there is a common one, which we'll also get to.
Yeah.
A common pair.
So something notable about this is paying the activation cost for this meld to happen, which I don't believe is the case every time. Like, sometimes it just happens.
Yeah, sometimes it's they're each different. In this case, it's one that you pay to have it happen. With some of the other ones, it tells you which phase it happens during. Like, it might be during your beginning of combat step. It might be on your end step. But the card will specifically tell you. Like, this one tells you.
Yeah.
You have to pay that. And when it happens.
I mean, Hanwear Garrison is just, like, good enough on itself. It's a 2/3 for 3. You get 2 dudes whenever you attack. I mean, great.
Pretty sick.
I'm just, like, wondering if any of these melds we're going to see happen in a constructed format.
Yeah, I wonder. It's, you know.
It would be really cool.
I don't know.
All right. Remains to be seen.
It certainly does. Also, I love Hanwear the Writhing Township just because I love the idea of a town being a creature.
No, it's great.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Just, like, melded. It just all went... and became one big
sloopy town.
Like, there's just, like, so much stuff in it. If you look at the art, there's, like, little house. There's, like, all the little houses and the wall. There's all the people and their pitchforks and their... It's gross.
It's really gross and really great. The full art is also available, and it's really kind of pretty because there's a kid watching it.
There's, like,
it
a kid watching
field.
From the field.
Oh.
Get out of there, kid.
Run while Get you still can! There.
Would
you be scared if a writhing town was coming after you?
Oh, let me think. No, I wouldn't be scared. Yes, I'd be scared.
Okay, sweet.
Yes,
sweet.
I'd
just
be
checking.
Scared.
Just checking.
Yas.
Yas.
Okay, so the next mechanic that we have is Emerge.
Yes, indeed. Emerge, much like when you are born. Emerge,
yes.
And you emerge into the world.
But these Eldrazi are not born.
No,
I
don't know what they are.
I feel like they're kind of like other creatures existed, and then Eldrazi-ness spawned inside them and then burst outward through their skins.
Like your friend's sloopy arm. Tentacle arm.
Yes. Oh, you're not talking about me. You're talking about my friend, the 1950s newscaster.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, you guys look so similar.
I mean, thank you. I've been told that many times.
Yeah, you're welcome.
He and I get that a lot.
This card, which has Emerge on it that was previewed today, is called Wretched Griff.
Yes.
Which sounds like a Shakespearean insult.
It really does.
It costs 7.
Thou art not but a wretched griff. A pestilence on this earth, and when you take to the skies, a monstrosity still. Go ahead. Sorry.
It costs 7. It's the best creature type which maybe exists, Eldrazi Hippogriff. So this was an innocent little hippogriff before its Eldrazi DNA were activated.
Yeah.
It is a 3/4 flyer. When you cast it, draw a card, no big deal.
Nice.
Here's Emerge, though. 5 and a blue. You may cast the spell by sacrificing a creature and paying the Emerge cost reduced by that creature's converted mana cost.
Huh. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty neat.
So already the Emerge cost is cheaper, right?
Because
this is 7, and then the Emerge is 5 and a blue. But in order to use the Emerge cost, you have to sacrifice a creature, and it's automatically going to become less.
Yes.
which is pretty cool.
It's kind of neat. I mean, it makes for some interesting decisions. You know, when is it going to be better to have this 3-floor flyer that lets you draw a card?
Mm-hmm.
And how much cheaper do you want it to be?
Yeah, and is it worth, right? Like, is it worth sacrificing, like, something like this? Poor, sweet little Dawngriff.
Dawngriff.
Which was just a regular old Hippogriff.
Is this what it turned into, do you think?
Yeah, this is totally it.
Sick.
Look, this is just a regular Hippogriff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then an Eldrazi Hippogriff. Like, you can see the really creepy similarities.
Yeah, it's like me and my evil twin.
Your evil twin is an Eldrazi?
Yes.
Lots of tentacles?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And costs less if you sacrifice
a creature.
Ooh.
I'm glad I know you and not your twin.
You are glad. Let me tell you, you do not want to meet that lady.
All right.
Real freak show. So, question. This is going to come up, which is, this Dawngriff is a 2/2.
Yes.
And its converted mana cost is 2 and a white, so 3.
Yes.
So if I sacrifice it to this wretched griff, I'm going to reduce the mana cost by 3 colorless.
That is correct.
Not including the blue. I always have to pay the blue.
The color casting cost will always be there.
Right.
So even if, for instance, Dawngriff cost 2 and a blue and you sacrificed it, you're still only going to reduce the emerge cost by 3 generic.
Right.
It wouldn't ever take away the blue.
Yeah. So say you sacrificed converted mana cost creature 6, you're still going to have to pay blue.
Although that's still pretty sick for this 3/4 man.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what is the earliest you can play Wretched Griff.
Well, I mean, mathematically, it would be on 4.
Okay. That's a pretty sweet play.
Yeah.
Draw a card, play a 3/4 flyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in.
Because you would play a 3 drop, and then on turn 4, you would have, if you have 4 mana available, you can pay 4, sac the 3 mana thing.
Yeah. And this is a common, so that's going
to
happen.
I'm very excited to see.
Emerge! And it's so flavorful.
And that one's
flavorful.
Nice, because it in a way, it gets you back the card that you,
that you
sacrificed. You get to draw.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Wretched Grift. Mm-hmm. Count me in. All right, the next mechanic we're going to talk about, escalate.
Yes, and not like an escalator.
No.
Which goes both up and down. This only goes up.
Yes.
This mechanic only gets better.
Most horrifying escalator. I want to get back down.
I'm sorry, you can't.
But
this escalator only goes up.
But if there's an up, there's a down.
No, it doesn't. Nope. It
but
only goes up.
Where does it end?
That's not a question I can answer, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
I'm simply this escalator's attendant. On a journey, just as you are.
So we saw a card with this mechanic's preview today, Borrowed Malevolence,
mm-hmm.
which is another Shakespearean name.
Yeah, it really is.
One black.
Thou art not a truly wretched man. Thine malevolence is merely borrowed from worser fools than thee.
Instant. Escalate. 2. Pay this cost for each mode chosen. Beyond the first.
That's
choose
right.
One or both. Target creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn. Target creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn.
So when you play, when you pay the single black on Borrowed Malevolence, you already get to pick one of these.
Yes.
But if you wanted to pick both,
you could
pay 2 and a black.
Yes.
And be able to use both of those modes. And
love
there are escalate cards with more than 2 modes.
Yeah.
There's, 3 modes. Who knows? Maybe 4 modes?
Maybe 10 modes.
Just pick all the modes.
Maybe 13
as
modes.
As long as you pay for them, you can pick all the modes.
Somebody I saw compared this to Kicker.
Yeah, it is a little bit like Kicker, where when you would cast a spell, you could pay a Kicker and get an additional ability on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I love cards and mechanics that do this because it helps them scale through the game.
Yeah.
So Borrowed Malevolence, good when you want to pay 1 black and only choose 1 mode.
Mm-hmm.
And then say you have 3 mana later in the game, kind of just rolling around in your pocket.
Why not?
And you want to get some extra value town.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Escalate. It's also a little bit, someone else compared it to Entwine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where you could pay for a spell and pay extra to get its extra.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
With Entwine, you could pay to pick one. Or pay for both.
Yes.
Yes.
So we will be seeing double face cards in this set once again.
We sure will.
Which is good, because it'd be kind of sad if they started that last set and they didn't
continue. They didn't do it this time. Yeah. There'd be riots.
There would be riots in the street.
Double face riots.
This one is one of my favorite ones that we've seen so far.
Okay.
Cryptolith Fragment.
Yep. 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sing it to me.
It's an artifact. Yeah. Cryptolith Fragment enters the battlefield. Tap to add one mana of any color to your mana pool.
Yeah, that pool.
Each player loses
one life.
I'm not going to sing the rest. It's taking so long. I get why we don't sing all of everything now, because it takes a long time to sing.
Have you ever been to Musical Town? Whew. They don't get a lot done.
No, they certainly don't.
But everybody knows their feelings about everything.
Yes. It also says, at the beginning of your upkeep, if each player has 10 or less life, transform Cryptolith Fragment.
Okay, so that card's sick. It's mana ramp. Yeah. You can force people to lose life, which is always good. And it turns into something that is really good, especially when your opponent has 10 or less life.
Yes. Aurora of Emrakul. Creature Eldrazi Reflection.
Oh, I was going to say it's like Emrakul's fart.
No, an aurora is not a fart.
Okay,
Northern Lights are not a fart.
The Northern Lights, Megan, are just an Earth's fart.
No, they're not.
You're like legitimately insulted.
I'm so insulted on behalf of the aurora, the great aurora right now.
The aurora borealis.
Right? No, it's like, it's way cooler than that. Legit, though.
I'm JK.
I mean, there are some gases in the air.
I did a whole video about people who photograph the Northern Lights. I'm into it.
So you photograph people who photograph the lights?
Yeah.
All right.
It was very meta.
Flying Death Touch. Whenever Aurora of Emrakul attacks, each opponent loses 3 life.
It's a 1/4.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, can pretty easily attack, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah. No problem.
It's a little bit like
Skimmer.
Yeah. I liked Silent Skimmer.
And Silent Skimmer was a damn fine card.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It really was.
In 0/4, they lose 2 every time you
and
attack
sometimes
with it.
And there was just nothing they could do about it eventually.
Yeah. Four toughness is not a joke, okay? I'm not trying to be funny right now.
Quit being funny. Oh, wait, you're not, because you're talking about 4 toughness.
Yeah, I'm being super, super serial about 4 toughness. It's hard to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Returning Mechanic Madness back again, round 2. More than round 2, I suppose, if you consider original Innistrad. But
it wasn't an original Innistrad.
It wasn't?
No.
Oh, what am I thinking of?
The set where it did originally occur.
Shadows over Innistrad?
No.
What?
It occurred before then.
When? I knew it was coming back, but I can't remember.
I mean, it was in Shadows over Innistrad.
Yes.
Do you feel crazy right now?
I kind of do.
We weren't around for the first set that it was in.
Oh.
So it makes sense that you don't remember it.
Madness.
Yeah. But it is, as you mentioned, returning our good old standby of if you discard a card and you discard a card with madness, you can pay its madness cost to cast it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
The card that was previewed today with the revisitation of Madness is basically like a Frost Breath. So it costs...
Planar Chaos.
That's when it first happened?
Well, it's a time when it happened.
Okay. Planar Chaos. Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm.
So this Frost Breath, a.k.a. What's it called now? Not Frost Breath. What are you doing, Megan?
What?
You're just looking at this other weird card.
I'm just clicking on things.
Okay. Pilot us back.
Here we go. Okay. Let's see. Time Spiral. That's also Planar Chaos. So that's set.
Okay, this one's called Chilling Grasp. Yeah, yes. 2 and a blue for instant. Tap 2 target creatures and they don't untap during their controller's next untap step. Notably, the madness cost is higher than the converted mana cost.
That's right.
Cost 3 and a blue.
Yeah, interesting.
But
maybe that means that we're going to see some really sweet cards with sweet discard effects.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, we already saw some cool ones.
I already like Chilling Grasp.
The vamps that you can transform by discarding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I always like, I like blue. I like tapping some stuff down.
Tippity tap.
Yeah. We also see the return of Delirium.
Yes.
Things are only getting crazier.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
If you are following the story, which you should be if you listened to our last episode, Megan gave us a great recap of what's going on. Let's just say things are getting real down on Innistrad. And by real, sure I mean really bad.
Yeah.
Gnarlwood Dryad was the preview card for this mechanic. Mm-hmm. It's just a green for a little 1/1.
Aww. With Death Touch. Because he's a Dryad horror.
And it's if it has Delirium, it gets +2/+2.
Sweet.
Which I'm kind of like, who cares? I mean, a 1/1 Death Touch kills just as good as a 3/3 Death Touch.
But it attacks better than a 1/1 Death Touch.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
We may be a little loopy today.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, why?
I don't know.
Me neither. What a day it is.
Maybe the Eldritch Moon is making us go crazy.
Spooky Moon.
Spooky Moon. So maybe. Spooked.
What would you do if Emrakul showed up here? You wouldn't have a choice anymore.
What do you mean I wouldn't have a choice?
You saw all the things. They're all melding together. Everybody's going...
So I'm going to become part of Minneapolis and I'm going to just... Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, there's worse cities to be a part of, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
I quite like this city.
Can you imagine if all of the cities in the United States each became like a writhing city and then they all went to battle against each other?
Yes, I can imagine this.
Can't you like really perfectly imagine it?
Yeah.
They would be enormous.
Like New York, of course, is going to like beat down and it's got a lot of sharp pointy edges.
Yeah, it really does.
And it smells.
And it's just going to be giant. It's so giant.
But can it beat... L.A., which is just very fancy.
Sprawling.
And has lots of roads.
Ugh, yeah, I can beat L.A.
Can it beat Detroit, which just makes you sad?
I don't know. We'll see about that
one. Okay.
We'll see about that one. Man, I wonder what city would win.
I mean, obviously, Tallahassee.
What? You just made that up. Yeah. That's not real.
I was going to say Florida's going to play dirty.
I feel like, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, New York isn't very ruthless.
They'd be so giant. Have you ever played Katamari Damacy?
Yeah.
It's like that.
It is like that. That is exactly like that. Oh, man.
It was a good game.
I want to know what city would win.
Tweet at us. I want to play Katamari Damacy.
I don't have it anymore. I'm sorry.
Megan. I didn't think that you did, but now you made me sad by saying that you...
That I used to own it.
That you used to own it, and now you don't.
I'm sorry.
Okay, tweet at us. What city would win the epic writhing city battle?
Please use the hashtag...
Battle. Big city battle.
Big city battle.
Please use the hashtag big city battle.
At MTAcast, we need to know.
Perfect.
We're going to get into these mechanics more in a couple of weeks when Judge Rob comes on the show, which I believe is going to be on the
This week, but next week.
Yeah.
Not the current week.
No.
Not this episode.
No.
Not next episode.
Not next episode.
The one after that. Good job.
Judge Rob will be here and will give us a run through for all this kind of stuff.
Hey, everybody.
There's new cards!
Yay! Freaking yay!
It's a great day when there's new cards.
It really is, especially when there are cards as sick as these ones.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right?
Are these cards for real? Are these some real dough?
They are real cards.
Okay, this is the first unreal card.
Okay.
But it's real.
But it's real.
It's real.
It's real. Gisella the Broken Blade.
Wow.
Sick name.
Yeah, sick
BT
name.
BT-dubs.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Two white, legendary, of course, Angel Horror.
Mm. Ooh, and this art is great.
It is great.
I love this art. Keep going.
She's a 4/3, flying. What else? First strike. What else? Lifelink.
Shut it up.
I won't.
Shut it up. Shut it down.
She melds. Before I read the rest of her deal.
Yeah.
Let's say who she melds with.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she melds with her sis. Her sis, Bruna the Fading Light.
Ooh.
That's a very, like, poignant name.
I know. Hers
it's, like,
is
less
kick at,
but it's very sad. It's very evocative.
Yeah, it is. 5 white for a 5/7.
Ooh.
Legendary Angel Horror.
Yeah.
When you cast Bruna the Fading Light, you may return target angel or human creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield flying in vigilance.
Oh, boy.
So now let's go back to our first lady.
And she melds with Gisella.
Melds.
Together they meld into... Brizella.
Wow, they took a note from People magazine on this one.
They just slapped them together. Voice of Nightmares.
Yikes.
That's great, though.
Yeah, it is
great.
That
part is sick.
Everybody was waiting to find out what this card would actually be. The art is epic.
This is my nightmare voice.
Wait, we have to say it at the same time, because we're the two heads.
Oh,
ready?
Yeah. This is my nightmare voice.
Hope you can sleep tonight, kids.
Flying. What? First strike.
What?
Vigilance.
What?
Lifelink. Shut up. I won't.
You can't, though.
I can't, because there's more. Your opponents can't cast spells with converted mana cost 3 or less. What?
You know?
It's a 9/10.
So you can't Angelic Purge this.
No, you can't.
Which makes sense, because it's... I don't think that would work. No. Gotta say.
You can Angelic Purge Angels? I don't think so.
No.
Well, technically you can in the other sets.
Yeah.
But not Brizella, Voice of Nightmares.
Brizella.
I mean, pretty cool. I also like that Bruna, like, if you have Gisella and she died, she's in your graveyard, you can just cast Bruna.
Yeah.
And get her back.
Yeah, and that's so cool.
It's really sick, right? And this is, as we said, the melds happen, like, at different times depending on the cards. This one is at the beginning of your end step. If you both own and control Gisella and Bruna, then you exile and meld them.
Wow.
Meld.
And this is one of the cases where part of me is like, maybe I just wanted to. But I mean...
What? It's a 9/10 flying first strike vigilance lifelink.
I know.
And it... No spells 3 or less.
Okay, fine. You sold me.
No spells 3 or less. We already told you about the handwear situation.
Yep.
But we also have... Midnight Scavengers.
I want to know the first person, by the way. If I don't know the first person who happens to do that meld in either sealed or draft, I will be so mad.
Yeah, if you know, and if it happens and you hear about it and you don't tell us,
we are going
to
be
stop listening
at
to this
you.
Podcast. You're forbidden.
I need to know this.
You're straight
so
up
much.
Forbidden.
I need a bell to go off in my house that's secretly
ding 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 ding.
Yeah, it's like it's like when the ghosts come in Christmas Carol.
Oh yeah.
I need to activate.
Ding. Ding.
Yeah, real creepy like that. When ding. When Brizella happens.
Or like ding.
No, the first one.
Ding. Ding ding a ding ding a ding a ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding.
Before we talk about this next one, I wanted to just mention that Gisella is freaking awesome.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
A lot of people are like, oh, great. Green-white tokens gets another amazing card. And I can't say no to that because they do.
They really do. Two white-white for a flying first strike vigilance. But no, it doesn't have vigilance. Flying first strike lifelink 4/3.
Yeah.
I mean... That's intense. That is intense. Now we have Midnight Scavengers and Graph Rats.
Yeah.
Which are the common meld pair.
So I guess when you're going to go scavenge, you might meld with a rat.
Yeah. Watch out. What is the punishment for scavenging in Innistrad? Melding with a rat.
Yuck.
Melding with a rat. They say that you shouldn't look in other people's trash cans on Innistrad.
Why, Grandma?
Well, because the next thing you know, you will be part rat.
Oh, that's just something crazy old people
say. That's what you think, but let me tell you the story of the Midnight Scavengers and the chittering hosts they became.
They turned into a haste menace 5/6.
Yeah, they did. So, Midnight Scavengers, 4 and a black for a 3/3. When it enters the battlefield, you may return target creature card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to your hand. So kind of like a Gravedigger-ish effect. And again, it pairs nicely with its card, Graph Rats. 1 and a black. At the beginning of combat on your turn, if you own and control Graph Rats and a creature named Midnight Scavengers, exile them, then meld them into Chittering Host. Haste. Menace. When it enters the battlefield, other creatures you control get +1/+0 and gain menace until end of turn.
Megan, looking
it's a 5/6.
At this art.
Yes.
How are you going to choose grossest card in the
I
set?
I really have no idea.
How am I going to choose cutest
no
card?
I have no idea.
Yikes.
So a notable difference So, flip cards never leave the battlefield.
Yeah.
These exile, and so Chittering Host does enter the battlefield.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it's obviously very important because of the second chunk of text on this card.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Do you remember back the time, ages ago, when there was, someone posted on Reddit, they were like, hey, isn't this so crazy? My friend opened this pack, and on the back of two of the cards, there is an Endbringer. But it was huge and printed sideways.
Yes, I do.
Do you remember that post?
Yeah.
Look where we are now, bro.
Whoa! They were thinking about doing it sooner.
Well, no, I don't. I think someone was saying, they might have been, testing the printing process.
Oh, I see.
And those cards accidentally got put into packs.
Oh.
So they were, they were trying it out, getting it ready, seeing what was what. And then those ones that they were practicing on accidentally got printed.
Sick.
And put into packs. Or not accidentally got printed, but accidentally got put into packs.
Awesome.
Isn't that so crazy, though,
to think about it? I love when that stuff happens.
We didn't know. Everybody was like, oh, this is such a weird printing thing.
And yeah.
It's like,
Sure. We know. So another card for white, which it needs. Hey, maybe my little dudes, maybe my mono-white humans need a friend. And yeah. Perhaps I can find a friend in Thalia. Heretic Cathar. Heretic? How do you say it?
Those are two words that are both difficult to say. Heretic.
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 Cathar.
You're the one who's supposed to tell me how to pronounce things.
Okay. Thalia. Heretic. Cathar.
I don't believe you.
No, that seems wrong.
Here, I'm going to all say it. Okay. Thalia. Heretic. Cathar.
I mean,
nailed it.
Sure.
Nailed it.
2 and a white for a 3/2 first strike. She's legendary, human soldier. Creatures and non-basic lands your opponents control enter the battlefield tapped because screw you.
That's right. Thalia is not about people having weird stuff going on.
Nope.
Original Thalia was like, you want to cast non-creature spells? I don't think so. They cost one more because... Yep. That stuff weirds me out. And now that creatures are all crazy, she's like, wait a second, no.
No, you enter.
No.
Tapped.
Tapped.
Yeah, this card is also fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's at rare.
Very cool.
Which it should be.
Also, she's having a great hair day.
She really is.
Like, in the regular art, hot damn. Also, you would not, I'm just saying, if you're a human soldier, you would not have that much hair. No.
And it would not be down.
No, it certainly wouldn't.
You could not fight with your hair down. I mean, I've never seen it.
It's like in the last scene of She's the Man when she plays soccer with her hair down. And you're like, I believed all of this movie up until this moment.
That's what did it.
This is what did it. I believed that everyone thought that Amanda Bynes was her brother.
I believe that it was fine that they tried to pants her at the end to see her genitals.
I thought, everything was acceptable and fine, but not that.
No.
But not that. You guys, She's the Man is easily one of my top three favorite movies of all time. If you have not seen it, please go watch it. It is a masterpiece. David Cross is in it.
I don't know if I go that far.
It is a masterpiece. Are you telling me it's not a masterpiece?
That's what I just said.
Maria.
I'm not going to say it's a fun romp.
It is a masterpiece of film. It has Amanda Bynes. It has Channing Tatum.
Yes, as her.
David Cross.
Same age peer.
Yeah.
They're certainly not 10 years apart or more.
What, all of the kids at that high school with air quotes around it.
Yeah.
Don't look.
I think you have to be at least 27 before you're allowed to play a high school.
Have you seen actual teen adult teen?
No.
Real teen adult teen. It's a great blog.
Oh, that sounds really good.
That it has all these photos of actors who played teens when they were teens and then also played teens when they were in their 20s and 30s. And it puts photos of them side by side.
So good.
It's great. So you've got Joseph Gordon-Levitt when he was in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah.
And he's looks actually super young.
Yeah.
And then later on he does not. So, but do you know which, so they at one, oh God, sorry, we're getting off on a big tangent, but I'm going to tell you about this.
Okay.
It's great.
Go.
So at one point in the blog's history, they had basically an actual teen, adult teen off, a bracket competition.
Yeah.
And the one who won is the kid who plays now is Jojen Reed on Game of Thrones, but is, you might also know him as the kid, Liam Neeson's kid in Love Actually.
Yeah,
Okay, so in Love Actually, how old do you think that kid is? Just looks-wise.
5.
Okay, it looks slightly older than that, but he's like 12. He looks like 9. Anyways, the point is that that poor guy looks like he's 12 until he's like in his 20s.
Really?
It's intense.
Oh, well. I don't know. I guess I didn't look 12 when I was in my 20s.
No, this kid looks legit 12.
Legit 12?
Legit 12.
I'm going to look up this blog.
You really should.
Thanks for this delightful tidbit.
All right. That was a nice aside.
Yeah.
That was a real nice aside. As we mentioned, there are more cards with Escalate.
Yes.
So, Maria.
Blessed Alliance, 1W for an instant at Uncommon. Mm-hmm. Escalate 2.
That's
so
right.
Pay this cost for each mode chosen beyond the first. Mm-hmm. Choose one or more. Target player gains 4 life.
Ooh.
Untap up to 2 target creatures.
Ooh.
Target opponent sacrifices an attacking creature.
My oh my.
This card is great.
It is great.
I mean, just the flexibility on it alone, mm-hmm. besides the Escalate cost.
Yeah, the flexibility is great. And imagine being able to pay for it. What if your opponent attacks with their team?
Oh my god.
And you pay 4?
What if you paid...
To untap 2 of your creatures and make them sacrifice an attacking creature.
What if you paid 6 and did everything?
Yeah. Well, gaining 4 life is fine.
At a key moment,
fine.
It could be really
it's
a slap
fine.
In the old Johnny Jimmel. You know what I mean?
Nope.
Okay.
I refuse to know what you mean.
Was the wink I put in there made
I refuse
put
to know
the nail
what
in
you
the
mean.
Coffin? All right.
Long Road Home. 1W for an instant. Exile target creature. At the beginning of the next end step, return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control with a +1/+1 counter on it.
Long Road Home, not only a country song. I don't even know if that is real, but it sounds like
I was
like
thinking
one.
Of... The song that jumped into my head was Long and Winding Road.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Also a magic card.
Long and winding road. Do,
do, so do. Out of these, which are you most excited by?
Oh, I mean, Gisela is just bonk.
Like, how do you play a deck that
a
she's not in is my question right now.
You play 60 Ways to Kill Her.
This deck's called 60 Ways to Kill Gisela.
It's the follow-up to 10 Things I Hate About You. 60 Ways to Kill Gisela.
Oh man, let's watch it again, Megan. I'm in the mood.
What? I want to watch She's the Man, though.
But if we're watching She's the Man, then can I watch 10 Things I Hate About You?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, this is a deal we worked out. We also recently watched Never Been Kissed, speaking of like 90s
ooh,
movies.
But that one was
that
like,
that one does not hold up.
That one just really does not.
It becomes really awkward for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Ooh. Although we decided that the best end to the movie was if you black it out as soon as the clock runs out on the stadium timer. Like,
the
he
end.
Never shows up.
He never shows up.
He never shows up. It's just like, she's like standing there waiting, and she looks sadder and sadder, and then the clock gets
roll
to
credits.
Zero, and you roll credits.
Everybody is just like,
what
goes home, cries
what was
into
that?
Their popcorn. Yeah,
that'd
so preview cards are going to be coming fast and furious.
Mm-hmm.
Our show has one.
Yes.
Which we are very excited about.
Yes.
Not to be revealed today, but
no.
at a later date.
Yes.
And so keep your eyes on the internet as mm-hmm. these come out. And keep your eye on our Twitter at MTAcast because we definitely retweet some of the cooler ones within
yeah,
seconds
do.
Of them they're being
seconds.
Revealed.
Seconds.
I pride myself on that.
Hot seconds.
Yeah. Hot seconds is what you can order at my restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Do they sell, like, the Darkness's album hotcakes?
Yeah. Wow, that is a callback.
So, everybody, there were some Grand Prix this past weekend, one in beautiful Pittsburgh and the other in beautiful Taipei.
Have you been to either?
No.
Okay.
But I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard good
that
things.
That they're cities.
Oh.
Special congratulations go out to Red Green Ramp.
Yes.
And to Sultai Midrange.
Yes.
One copy of each. Made it into the top 8 of each of these respective.
You
Red
did
Green
it.
Ramp made it into the top 8 at Taipei, and Sultai Midrange made it into the top 8 at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And everything else was Green White Tokens or Bant Company.
That's.
Or Bant Humans.
That's sick.
Why? What? Why?
Remember
what?
When the standard started? The
why,
format was
what?
So diverse.
And now, goodbye.
People have solved it.
It's. or everybody's given up.
Yeah.
They're just like, fine, fine, it's green, white tokens, you guys.
No, seriously, I was watching Paul Cheon's stream the other day, and somebody was telling him about a deck idea, and Paul's like, if you're not playing green, white tokens, why aren't you? Basically, he's like, you have to play it. It's kind of the way that he felt about it. Like,
yeah.
You're going to lose if you're not playing this deck.
It's true. It's true. It's gross. It's very gross.
It is pretty disgusting.
It's disgusting.
So let's just briefly mention this Sultai mid-range deck, because at least, you know, it's something different.
Well, it's been around for a little while.
Well, yeah, I suppose. It's got Gitrog Monster in it. I'm excited about that.
Two of those.
Thilumgarth.
Two Thilumgarth. Which are usually the, it's the only, deck's only blue.
Yeah.
So it's not super Sultai. It's mainly green-black with a touch of blue for our good old friend Tassigar wearing Silumgar.
Yeah. Kalitas, of course, Nissa, yep. Sylvan Advocate, Den Protector. This is just like Tyler's Tracker. Greatest hits.
Greatest hits of green-black.
Yep. And then, of course, running Languish, Ruinous Path to Ruin My Life.
Grasp of Darknesses and Ultimate Prices. Some Oath of Nissas to even you out along the way.
So at least this deck, you know, it chugged along. It was a little deck that could.
As was Green Red Ramp.
Yeah.
Amongst
you did
all
it, buddy.
Of these terrible foes. Congratulations, Green Red Ramp.
Yeah, and you'll assume some of these cards. Dragonlord Atarka, of course, in this deck, which is what we're ramping to.
Sylvan Advocates.
Ulamog's in this deck.
Aw, yeah. So I do have to say, like, there is, like, this super sick interaction with, like, Sylvan Advocate where you get to six lands on, like, turn four. And your Sylvan Advocate is a 4/5 on turn four. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So how is this deck ramping? Hedron Archive.
They also play four Explosive Vegetation, four Nissa's Pilgrimage, and in this deck's case, one Nissa's Renewal.
Well, that'll get you there.
Yeah, it will.
So
it'll get your pants there, too.
Not only will you arrive,
but your pants will also arrive. Look, I'm going to start an airline, and our tagline is going to be, you, comma, and your pants will get there.
Because that's the number one thing I'm worried about.
Yeah, and it's just going to quietly insinuate that other airlines
don't
manage to deliver your pants.
No, it makes sense because they're saying they're not going to lose your luggage.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Yeah,
this is really insidious and a great marketing campaign.
I was
meant to be an evil villain. I really think I would do great in the Mafia. I may have mentioned that before on this show. I just haven't had my
Maria. Nobody does great in the Mafia.
Didn't you learn anything from The Godfather?
Didn't you learn anything from The Departed?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. Tune in next week for more sweet, sweet, sweet preview card action.
Yep. Things are only going to snowball downhill, except it's also going up at the same time because it's exciting.
Yes.
So it's just snowballing across flat ground until the pre-release arrives.
You make it sound so great.
It's like building a snowman.
Okay.
We're building a snowman. A spooky snowman. Aren't all snowmen spooky
in the
dark?
I know, that's what I was just going to... I wasn't going to say in the dark on the end of it. But yes, there was a horror movie where the snowman was the killer.
Are you talking about Frosty the Snowman?
No, that's not a horror movie.
It's not? My bad. I misinterpreted several things that were going on in that
film. Can we take a moment to talk about... I know this show has been a lot of BS, but I...
This show?
I feel like we've gone off the rails several times.
What a moment. What an honest moment. This show is BS.
No, I don't. I didn't say the show. I said we've been BSing a lot within the show.
Okay, sure.
And I want to take a moment to say, what childhood movie that was supposed to be fun and happy and for kids terrified you when you were young?
I feel like there was one about an Easter rabbit and an Easter bonnet and an Easter basket that was supposed to be cheerful and Eastery, but... It was always just kind of like heartbreakingly sad to me.
Oh, jeez. Like the Velveteen Rabbit?
No, 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 no.
Okay.
This one had a happy ending, I think. But I don't remember that much. Just that I was kind of spooked by it.
I was spooked, right the spook out, by an adaptation of Alice in Wonderland that was made for TV. And for some reason, I want to say Cloris Leachman was in it. But I don't really know if that's right. Either way, in it, somebody was transformed into a goat. And it was horrifying. If anybody else remembers this, please let me know. Because to this day, I'm still scared of that scene.
I've mentioned a lot, like, I watched The Voyage Home a lot as a kid.
Yeah. Is this, where a dog and a cat are friends?
No, Star Trek, The Voyage Home.
Oh, what was I thinking of?
Milo and Otis.
No, Homeward Bound.
Homeward Bound.
Yeah.
I watched that multiple times, yes, until my dad forbade me from checking it out from the Blockbuster.
How dare he?
That happened.
Do you know in my hometown, my little hometown, there's still a working videotape rental store?
Wow.
Yeah.
There are some in Austin.
Yeah.
I was going to say, one time we watched The Search for Spock, but I was too little.
Yeah.
Oh, and we went to a theater. I saw First Contact.
Yeah.
In the theater, but I was only like 7.
That's early.
Yeah. And I spent the next 2 years certain that the Borg were going to come in and assimilate everybody in the middle of the night. I was certain of it.
I'm really happy that you were scared of the Borg. I think that's way better than being scared of like serial killers like I was.
That's also a very legitimate fear, though.
Yeah.
Yours probably more legitimate than mine.
Okay. So this is just a preview, by the way, of what you can expect if you become a patron.
That's right. We talk about... We have... If you enjoy the tangents,
yeah,
it is like a 5-minute tangent.
Yeah, so a lot of people don't like our tangents, but you know what? They don't have to. They can listen to another show.
That's
but
right.
If you do, you can become a patron for as little as a dollar, and then you get access to our extra special patron special, which we mm-hmm. release every week. 5 minutes of extra jizzy mouth jazz. Become a patron. We also have more shirt sizes now in our great Magic the Amateur and Good Luck High Five. They're in our store. Come buy them. We'll send them to you in the mail.
There's playmats.
There's playmats too.
MagicTheAmateuring.com. You can email us at MagicTheAmateuring@gmail.com. Tweet at us on Twitter.
At MTAcast.
At MTAcast.
Also, the Community Super League final is coming up this Thursday.
That's right. Absolutely, check
them
out.
But check them out.
Gabby, Paul, and Kenji are all competing, and it's going to be 3 different formats. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I just keep replaying.
The way I said it, I know it was kind of disturbing. I'm going to make it my ringtone for when you call me.